This is Donald S. Reinhardt. I am reading from my newly written book called The Encyclopedia of the Pivot System. This is tape number 5. I will continue with the breathing discussion. Question number 20. What causes dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth, to occur while playing in the high and low registers of the instrument? Many performers overbreathe because they forget that playing in the high register of the instrument requires more air pressure but less air quantity. Inhaling more than the required amount of air causes the player's lungs to become over-oxygenated. This in itself may cause dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth. In addition, many players, consciously or unconsciously, adhere to the old-time breathing fallacy of protruding the diaphragm and abdominal regions while playing, and especially when ascending into the high register. This causes the chest to fall, the throat to tighten and constrict, and excessive physical pressure to exert itself in the lower extremities and around the heart. It also has caused many players to develop numerous internal physical disorders, as well as the ones already mentioned. Many players who are not accustomed to playing the first or lead parts would find that if called upon to do so, dizziness and lightheadedness would result. To eliminate this, they need to adjust their breathing to suit the requirements at hand. Likewise, many performers who are not accustomed to playing lengthy performances in the low register would also suffer from dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth. This difficulty, too, subsides when the breathing becomes adjusted to the greater air quantity that is required to play the low register. If players would take a little time to think and analyze, rather than just blow, many of these unnecessary physical playing ailments would not take root. Learn to compensate and adjust the differences in air pressure and air quantity in the various registers of the instrument as soon as feasible in your playing career. Question number 21. Disregarding tongue and embouchure, what would be the correct procedure to play 3 detached low concert B flats on one breath, 3 detached middle concert B flats on one breath, and 3 detached high concert B flats on one breath? Disregarding the tongue manipulation and the embouchure formation for the nonce, the conclusion of the normal or standard mouth corner playing inhalation should find the diaphragm and abdominal regions in a firm, downward, and outward, that is, protruded position. It is from this physical position that all lifting occurs for the initial attacks, in spite of the register of the instrument being played. This is why we say that it is to the player's advantage to utilize the normal, slower playing inhalation whenever and wherever possible. Even though the rule for timed breathing dictates that greater or lesser quantities of air are to be inhaled, that is, according to the dynamics, phrase, and register being played, the abdominal regions must always arrive in their protruded position before the various degrees of lift occur for the different registers. Remember the inhalation and the exhalation, that is the blowing, must all be one synchronized movement. Any hesitation between the inhalation and the exhalation completely upsets the vital timing. Since the higher note requires more air pressure, but less air quantity, and the lower note the reverse, the diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift or upward thrust for the initial attack must be governed accordingly. The factors mentioned must be given diligent consideration before the logic of the theory will be evident. To perform three detached, low, concert B flats on one breath. Because of the slower, more relaxed lip vibrations and the lower position of the tongue arch, the instrument must be supplied with more air quantity, but with less air pressure. During the normal playing inhalation, the diaphragm and abdominal regions move inward and slightly upward. Any bogging down or sagging of the diaphragm and abdominal regions between the detached notes being played on the same breath must not be tolerated. From the start of the first note to the very end of the blowing, there must be a feeling of one continuous diaphragmatic lift. To perform three detached middle concert B flats on one breath. Because of the more rapid lip vibrations and the higher position of the tongue arch, the instrument must be supplied with less air quantity, but with more air pressure. During the normal playing inhalation, the diaphragm and abdominal regions assume their protruded position. At the exact moment that the initial attack is being executed, the diaphragmatic lift becomes more pronounced than for the lower register. This lift, too, must continue throughout the blowing without bogging down between the notes. To perform three detached high concert B flats on one breath. Because of the far more rapid lip vibrations, from the greater lip compression and the higher position of the tongue arch, the instrument must be supplied with much less air quantity, but with a greatly increased air pressure. During the normal playing inhalation, the diaphragm and abdominal regions assume their protruded position. At the exact moment that the initial attack is executed, the diaphragmatic lift becomes much more pronounced than for the middle and lower registers. This lift, likewise, must continue throughout the blowing of the three notes. Question 22. What is the slump which brass men talk about, and how is it used? At the conclusion of each and every phrase, in a cantabile, that is a ballad or song style number, a physical slump or point of muscular neutrality should occur in the player's diaphragm and abdominal regions. This slump must intervene with split second timing between the conclusion of the blowing and before the new inhalation is executed. It must be strictly confined to the diaphragm and abdominal regions. This vital physical let go is not intended to encourage the player to loosen or relax his embouchure formation or to permit him to exhale surplus air. The mastery of the physical slump can only be achieved after the goal of timed breathing has been accomplished. The two factors being both essential and inseparable. When the player's slump has terminated, the standard or normal mouth corner plank inhalation must be executed. He must remember that for the standard or normal mouth corner inhalation, his diaphragm and abdominal regions must gradually expand and slowly protrude. As his inhalation is continued and completed, a slight expansion will be noticed in his chest, and an open, free feeling will be felt in his throat. In short, a split second after the phrase has been completed, his diaphragmatic and abdominal region slump must occur immediately preceding his new inhalation. At the completion of a phrase, the slump returns the diaphragm and abdominal regions to their normal position, and the further protruding of this area does not occur until the inhalation has been executed. The player should think of his diaphragm and abdominal regions as being in their in and up position at the conclusion of the phrase. Then they are lowered to their normal slumped position and still lower for the inhalation itself. Always strive to take advantage of the slump, regardless of the type of phrase or tempo involved. Question number 23. What is the value of the physical slump, and how can it be developed and maintained? The physical slump, when utilized in the proper manner, greatly enhances the endurance and relaxes the sound throughout the playing. Timed breathing and the physical slump are inseparable and permit the performer to gain maximum improvement in all departments of his playing. Some players have developed and maintained these vital factors unknowingly. Others master them by diligence alone. Play any slow ballad of your choice. Think of your diaphragm and abdominal regions as being in three positions. First, the in and up position at the conclusion of each and every phrase. Second, the physical slump or back to the normal position. And third, the further expansion of the diaphragm and abdominal region area during the inhalation itself. In short, at the end of every phrase, slump and inhale, then continue. This type of practice on an ordinary slow ballad is sufficient for the average player. However, in stubborn cases, more detailed and intensified study and practice is vital for the mastery of the physical slump. Remember, the physical slump cannot be mastered until timed breathing has been developed and maintained. The two factors are inseparable. Question number 24. What is the significance of the terms air pressure, air quantity, and air velocity as used in the pivot system? The term air pressure refers to the amount of blowing resistance that the performer encounters during the playing of his instrument. This factor is vital for the production of the upper register of the instrument because of the faster tensor lip vibrations from the increased amount of lip compression. The term air quantity denotes the actual amount of air consumed during the playing of the instrument. This factor is vital for the production of the lower register of the instrument because of the slower, more relaxed lip vibrations from the lesser amount of lip compression. The term air velocity is the speed of the air column being utilized during the playing of the instrument. For example, a fortissimo tone on a given pitch will require far more air velocity than a pianissimo tone. All too frequently, the term air velocity is confused with the term air pressure. Therefore, reference to air velocity is made very sparingly in the pivot system. Question number 25. Do you consider correct breathing the most important factor in the playing of a brass instrument? The particular stage of the student's development is the determining factor as to whether or not correct breathing is the most important physical playing factor. To the beginner, the acquiring of the proper embouchure formation is definitely more important than the breathing factor. Whereas to the professional, the breathing factor is vital for his playing control, so the embouchure formation is of secondary importance. However, this is true only if the professional's embouchure formation remains absolutely free from playing difficulties. When the proper embouchure formation has been thoroughly developed and maintained, then, and only then, does the breathing factor take on its many duties for essential playing control. Question 26. Why is it so important for the performer to maintain his diaphragmatic and abdominal region firmness to the conclusion of every playing breath? The importance of maintaining diaphragmatic and abdominal region firmness to the conclusion of the playing breath cannot be overemphasized. If this idea of firmness is carried out in the proper manner, the player will positively improve his control of dynamics, intonation, articulation, and musical finesse. In addition, he will be inclined to use far less mouthpiece pressure against his lips. Many players are in the habit of permitting the diaphragm and abdominal region area to become too flabby and loose toward the end of their playing breath. This lazy habit is especially prevalent when the performance is accomplished while in a sitting position. It seems that most beginners pass through an error of breathing for every detached note. It is the duty of the instructor to nip this fault in the bud. If the instructor fails in this responsibility, then this destructive fault prevents the student from developing and maintaining essential playing control. All performers should strive for control to the very end of their playing breath, and this can only be accomplished if the performer maintains his diaphragmatic and abdominal region firmness to the end of the playing breath. Nearly all players have so-called breath control for the first few notes of the phrase, but they never maintain control to the end of the phrase unless this idea of firmness is carried out. The performer must stress the control of dynamics, intonation, and so forth to the end of each and every playing breath. This is a must in modern brass playing. Keep in mind that it is far better to be too firm rather than too loose. Question number 27. How should the inhalation be executed to play a long phrase in the high register of the instrument? Here we have two conflicting factors which may only be resolved through compromise. A long phrase requires a large quantity of air. Yet, the high register is best negotiated with small amounts. Obviously, too little air will result in an unfinished phrase, while too much will cause a strained upper register, dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth. Of course, it is during the early part of the phrase that the problem is the most severe, the air quantity decreasing with every note played. Inhaling large amounts of air places the diaphragm and abdominal regions into such a lowered position that it is very difficult to get under it and commence the diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift at the correct time and in the proper manner. In any event, exercise particular care so that the diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift originates in a firm, positive, and stabilized manner. Remember, this synchronized lift must occur at the exact moment that the initial attack is being executed. Otherwise, the greater quantity of the inhaled air supply is a tremendous disadvantage, even though a necessity for this type of phrase. Avoid any form of overbreathing. This playing evil brings on countless high register difficulties. Question number 28. Assuming that the rhythmical figurations are identical and the third part is one octave lower than the first part, which part consumes the greater quantity of air? Assuming that the rhythmical figurations are identical and the third part is one octave lower than the first part, the third part consumes the greater quantity of air. The lower tones require slower, less tense lip vibrations. The lip aperture, that is, the space blown open, is much larger, and the level of the tongue arch is much lower in the mouth. Therefore, the quantity of air consumed is much greater. Remember, the lower register of the instrument demands more air quantity but less air pressure. Question number 29. Assuming that the rhythmical figurations are identical and the first part is one octave higher than the third part, which part requires the greater amount of air pressure? Assuming that the rhythmical figurations are identical and the first part is one octave higher than the third part requires the greater amount of air pressure. The higher tones require faster, tenser lip vibrations. The lip aperture, that is the space blown open, is much smaller. And the level of the tongue arch is much higher in the mouth. Therefore, the amount of air pressure demanded is much greater. Remember, the higher register of the instrument requires more air pressure, but less air quantity. Question number 30. Why should the protruding stomach breathers be told to bend or lean slightly forward from their hips up while ascending? Protruding stomach breathers are those players who have been wrongly trained to protrude their abdominal regions while they are ascending, may acquire the feeling of the vital, diaphragmatic, and abdominal region lift by bending or leaning slightly forward from their hips up while ascending. This firm and synchronized physical lift must be acquired and maintained so that their upper registers may be played brilliantly and consistently with the least amount of embouchure effort. It must be remembered that the timing of this diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift is so important that it often spells the difference between success and failure. While they are bending slightly forward from their hips up, they must be cautioned against dropping their head or shoulder positions. When they have acquired this lift, they must then strive to accomplish it without bending forward. The point of bending forward was only intended to make it possible to create the proper sensations for the lift. Question number 31. How does the principle of even blowing apply to the playing of both slurred and tongued intervals while ascending and descending the register of the instrument? While slurring any intervals or arpeggios, always strive to blow a steady stream of air. You should never permit a series of spasmodic thrusts, diaphragmatic jolts, or audible grunts to force out the tones that happen to stick. If you are in the habit of forcing out these tones that are tardy in speaking, then you cannot expect to develop the required flexibility. Strive for the sensation of even blowing or glizzing with the breath and brush past the air pocket of each tone very lightly. This even blowing idea reduces the mouthpiece pressure against your lips to a minimum. In fact, it actually adjusts your amount of mouthpiece pressure so that maximum flexibility is possible. If you are playing slurred intervals or arpeggios and any sticking of the tones is noticed, then positively do not force out the notes that fail to speak. Desist from this form of straining by removing the mouthpiece from your lips and starting again. Continue in this manner until the tones being played all speak fluently. While tonguing any intervals or arpeggios, strive for the same steady stream of air as described in the foregoing paragraph. You must not permit a diaphragmatic movement or thrust with each and every detached tongued note. An even flow of breath must prevail throughout the blowing. In short, never grunt out any detached notes. To find out precisely to what I am referring, play the middle concert B-flat arpeggio moderately loud. Ascend to the high concert B-flat and descend to the middle concert B-flat. Slur the arpeggios the first time. Tongue them the second time and do all on one breath. Practice this arpeggio a number of times, always alternating between slurring and tonguing or vice versa, and practice both forms on the same breath. While carrying out this idea, make certain that you maintain this even blowing principle for both the slurring and the tonguing. Do not become alarmed if the detached notes sound a bit sloppy at first. This will all clear up when your lip vibrating suppleness and response improves. Whether you are slurring or tonguing, the results must never be acquired by altering the even blowing idea into a series of diaphragmatic palpitations. You must check on this by placing the palm of your hand against your abdomen, making certain that little or no movement is evident. If the even blowing principle is developed and maintained in the proper manner, the detached tongue notes will no longer feel that they are being delivered from the back of your throat, but from the even lift of your diaphragm and abdominal regions. Even blowing also prevents dual personalities in tonal timbre in your slurred and tongued passages. Always strive to unify the blowing of both the slurring and the tonguing, as it is this principle, plus the fluent vibrating response of the embouchure formation, that combine for the net result in modern brass playing. Question number 32. What is the importance of even blowing? Even blowing is one of the brass playing musts. This vital factor makes it possible for the player to develop and maintain, number one, an improved control of all dynamics. Number two, a consistent equality of tonal timbre. Number three, an improved control of intonation. Number four, an improved control in all registers. Number five, a greater consistency in the various modes of attack and articulation. Number six, a superior all-around flexibility. Number seven, an improvement in the endurance factor. Number eight, a much finer, more delicate embouchure response. Number nine, a reduction and the amount of mouthpiece pressure used. Number 10, a reduction in the number of clinkers, clams, cracked notes, and so forth. Number 11, a much finer playing finesse. Number 12, a more agile tongue. Number 13, a reduction in the amount of playing effort. Question number 33. Is the upper register more responsive if a tremendous quantity of air is inhaled before producing it? The most satisfactory way to answer this question is to instruct each and every reader to execute a tremendous inhalation, then attack and sustain a concert high B-flat. Be very conscious as to the amount of physical effort that is required and to the type of sound being produced. Now, inhale such a small quantity of air that you feel inadequate to the task of attacking and sustaining a concert high B-flat. Play the proposed note. Analyze the amount of physical effort that is required and listen carefully to the type of sound being produced. Without exception, you will find that the lesser amount of air not only produces less physical strain, but the tonal timbre has vastly improved. inhaling too much air, that is, overbreathing. For the upper tone increases the possibility of missing or fluffing the note, produces dizziness, lightheadedness, spots before the eyes, and so forth, and subjects the entire embouchure formation to unnecessary pressure and strain. Overbreathing for the production of the upper register forces the player's diaphragm and abdominal regions to such a lowered position that he finds it exceedingly difficult to commence his diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift on the initial attack. That is why the upper register requires more air pressure but less air quantity. Question number 34. Will the synchronized diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift eliminate the unwanted extra notes in an ascending slurred interval of a fifth or over? It is seldom true that the synchronized diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift will completely eradicate the playing of unwanted partials, that is, the unwanted notes which occur between the principal notes, in an ascending slurred interval of a fifth or over. The reason is that the coordinated lift is only one of the four principal factors that are employed in the playing of the long slur. To clarify this, consider the following points. Number one, assuming that the high concert B flat demands slightly more neutralized mouthpiece pressure than the middle concert B flat, it is vitally important that this pressure increase occur at the exact moment when the response of the upper note is expected. Even the slightest anticipation or tardiness in the timing of the mouthpiece pressure increase will result in the upper note being cracked. Number two, since the high concert B flat demands more air pressure but less air quantity than the middle concert B flat, it is good practice to introduce a slight crescendo on the latter part of the lower note before slurring to the upper note. This will assist you in arriving at the air pressure increase for the upper note a split second before the note is to be played. This makes it possible for you to melt the two notes together. The crescendo on the lower note must be so minute that it is seldom noticed by the listener, but provides definite assistance to the player. Number three, the increase in the elevation of the tongue arch, that is the vowel E, must be synchronized with the diaphragmatic and abdominal region lift. If the timing of the two factors is faulty, then the upper note will be missed or fluffed. Number four, attack the middle concert B flat with the syllable to or do. Allow a slight space between the notes. Then with the vowel E, play the high concert B flat. When you succeed in making both notes speak fluently, inject the soft W between them, that is, to we. Do not emphasize the W, as it is only intended to cushion the slur. Practice all long ascending slurred intervals as suggested. You will be amazed by your improvement. In shorter slurs, that is a second, third, or fourth, just manipulate your tongue level as though you were whistling the same pitches. Question number 35. Why is it so essential that you execute your initial attack, that is the attack which immediately follows your inhalation, at the very peak of your playing inhalation without delay? Delaying any initial attack may bring on any or all of the following playing evils. Number one, a tremendous pressure and strain in the mouth and throat areas. Number two, a backing up of the air in the mouth and throat. Number three, a faulty stuttering attack. Number four, too much mouthpiece pressure against the lips. Number five, a general lack of endurance. Number six, a lack of confidence. Number seven, sluggish tonguing. Number eight, a bobbing, shifting mouthpiece position. Number nine, a reduction in the flexibility factor. Number 10, tremendous variation in tonal timbre. Modern brass playing demands attacking without delay. Your exhalation, that is the blowing, must gather momentum from your inhalation in one uninterrupted process. Otherwise, the nervous and muscular timing of all vital playing factors will be seriously impaired. Your inhalation and exhalation, while speaking, become one synchronized subconscious factor. Fine brass playing requires this same smooth flowing gathering of momentum. Prove this to yourself by taking a normal inhalation, hesitating for a second or so, and then speaking. Notice the enormous tension in the mouth and throat areas and the lack of control in the speaking dynamics. Delaying any playing attack has the same disastrous result during your performance. Inhale for the upbeat. Attack for the downbeat. Question number 36. Why do some performers puff their cheeks, others their necks, and still others both? Generally speaking, if a player's mouth cavity is smaller than average, he will have puffing tendencies. With many performers, the cheek puffing urge seems irresistible, especially while playing in their high registers. Others find that this is only prevalent in their low registers. Still others puff their cheeks regardless of the register or the dynamics being employed. Most cheek puffers claim that its usage provides a greater breadth of both sound and volume and a marked increase in endurance. Any performer who is addicted to the cheek puffing habit should certainly strive to keep his cheek puff as far away from his mouth corner area as possible, because this type of extended puff destroys essentially firm mouth corners and seriously hampers any form of agile tonguing and flexibility. No form of puffing should ever be tolerated under the lower lip, because this form of bulge makes a trumpet sound like a cornet and a trombone like a baritone. In short, the highs or the brilliant timbres of the tone are seriously hampered. Neck puffing is due to the straining or rupturing of the neck muscles. This type of muscular weakness is often the result of any one, several, or all of the following causes. Number one, delaying the initial attack by bottling up the air. Number two, protruding the diaphragm and abdominal regions while ascending. Number three, overbreathing causes all types of strain in the throat area. Number four, overcompression in the embouchure formation causes the air to back up. Number five, an improper level for the tongue arch for the particular pitch being played. Number six, improper embouchure development. Number seven, a mouthpiece that is too small and too shallow. Except in rare cases, a player who puffs his cheeks and his neck should at least make a conscientious effort to eliminate his neck puff. And see the following question and answer. This is not intended to condone cheek puffing, but rather to indicate that a neck puff is a more serious form of physical strain because it can strain and possibly damage permanently the player's vocal cords. If the mouth cavity is of normal or larger size, then by all means, do not permit either form of puffing. This is Donald S. Reinhardt. I am reading from my newly written book called The Encyclopedia of the Pivot System for All Brass Instruments. I will continue on the next tape. Tape number 6.